Praise the Lord. Dear friends, a few days ago, most of the newspapers brought a news with great importance, the title, "The Pope Apologizes." It related to Pope Benedict the 16th, and the apology was for a misunderstanding or a quotation that he quoted in the course of his talk he gave at the University of Regensburg, where he was a professor long time ago. It was a scientific talk on faith and reason. And in the course of the talk, he made a reference to a conversation between the Emperor Palaiologus and a Persian intellectual. Somehow, the reference was considered as an offense against Islam. And there was a great uproar all over the world from various quarters. And when it came to the notice of the Pope, he apologized first through his envoy and then personally, apologizing for any misunderstanding that his talk or his reference may have caused. And this apology was accepted and the uproar ended. Pope Benedict the 16th, the Supreme Pontiff, the head of the Catholic Church, of more than 1 billion believers, did not consider it below his dignity to ask for forgiveness and pardon if his talk or any reference of his may have caused any grief, any sorrow, any pain to anybody in the world. In fact, Pope Benedict was following the tradition of his great grand predecessor, Pope John Paul II. In relation to the great jubilee of year 2000, Pope John Paul II made history by apologizing for many of the failures of the leaders of the church throughout the 2000 years of its history, related to the Crusades, to the Inquisition, and many other issues. So the Pope did not consider it below his dignity or against his mission as the Supreme Pontiff and the representative of Christ to apologize for the misdeeds and for the failures of the church as an institution, especially in its leaders. So asking for forgiveness does not mean that the person is weak. It's not a sign of cowardice. Asking for forgiveness accepts the fact that we are all fragile. There can be mistakes in our lives. And we are all sinners who need forgiveness from God and from each other. And this is the reality, the truth, the lesson that Jesus teaches us through the Lord's Prayer, that which we are analyzing or continuing to analyze. The Lord's Prayer, after the petition for bread, the next petition comes, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Jesus is asking us to pray to the Lord, to our Father, to pray for forgiveness. And forgiveness for sins. The word is often translated either as sin or as transgression. This comes from the various ways of understanding or various shades of meaning of the word sin. But we know today people have progressively lost the sense of sin. Former times in the Catholic churches, there were confessionals, and the instrument called confessional is still there in many places. In some churches, it has already disappeared. And in many churches, the confessionals were full, especially during the Lenten season and the Holy Week, and also the week of the retreat. And in many churches, every day before the Mass, at least for half an hour, the priest would be in the confessional to hear confessions and to give absolutions. Jesus had instituted the sacrament of confession or sacrament of reconciliation, and people used to profit from this sacrament of reconciliation to restore their peace with God, peace with the neighbor, and peace with themselves. But progressively, the confessionals are being abandoned as the sense of sin is disappearing from the minds of people. But on the other hand, we see great crowds gathering around counselors and psychologists. They are busy, are giving advice, solving problems, sorting out issues, and giving counsel to the people. But the counseling alone does not give forgiveness. The confessionals become empty, counselors become very busy. And as a result, we see more and more people mentally deranged, disturbed, and mental illnesses on the increase in many parts of the country. Unassimilated tensions and unforgiven guilt is somehow eating into the soul of the humanity, individuals as well as society. Here comes the teaching of Jesus with its relevance. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Is it sin or is it trespass? The original Hebrew words have both meanings. In fact, Hebrew in the Bible, we have three major words to express the sin, which is being translated as sin. And all these three words come in Psalm 51, a psalm of repentance and reconciliation, a psalm, a penitential psalm, a prayer of a repentant sinner asking for forgiveness, confessing his sins and asking for forgiveness. The first four verses I read, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love." That's a petition. "Blot out my transgressions." That's the first. Blot out my transgression. Transgression is sin. And the Hebrew word is pesha. It means to overstep the limit, to transgress, go against, break a law, break into a region, an area which you are not supposed to enter. That is a positively going against the law, breaking, transgressing, overstepping the limits. So this is the sin of adultery, for example. You shall not commit adultery. And whenever a person goes with another woman, another person, illegally, is adultery, is a sin, is a transgression of the law. You shall not kill. A person who kills is transgressing the law. You shall not steal. So whatever is presented as a prohibition, you shall not. And a person who commits that prohibited act is transgressing the law. Sin as transgression. "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity." Iniquity is avon. Avon is the Hebrew word. Iniquity, that is a kind of evil. Something done with evil intention. It's a guilt. It can be also mean punishment. So the guilt that is somehow accumulating in the soul. So it can come either by doing something against the law or not doing what is commanded, the guilt. And the third word is hata. "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." And here the Bible is translating sin, the Hebrew word hata. And this word points to the omission of something that a person is supposed to do. It is to miss the goal, to not to reach the aim, something done that is ineffective, miss the right path, go against man and God, something that does not reach the goal. So, put in plain words, this is omitting one's own duties. So we can call it the sins of omission. The first is the sins of commission, the transgression, going against, and here you have the sins of omission. So whatever is sin, he is presented as going against God's law. So the pesha and hata and avon, the iniquity, the guilt, the transgression, the sin, all these are put together. And we are told by Jesus to ask for forgiveness. In front of God, we are all sinners. This is the fact that we have to accept. Only in the light of our faith can we understand and accept our sinfulness. And unless and until we believe in God, we cannot speak about sin either. But the more, the greater the faith, the more the light of faith that is being shed into our lives, we see our sins with greater clarity. That is why the psalmist could say, "Against you, you alone have I sinned and have done what is evil in your sight." So sin is sin against God. Whatever be the transgression, whatever be the omission, ultimately it is sin done against our Creator, our loving Father. That is what the prodigal son tells, "Against you and against heaven have I sinned." So the awareness of having committed sin, that is what Jesus tells us to have. Forgive us our sins. We are sinners. We need forgiveness. And only God can forgive. And only if God forgives our sins, only if He re-establishes this friendly relationship with us, can we go ahead. Forgive us our sins. Jesus promises us that God will forgive. But the forgiveness is put on condition. Only one condition. And the condition is clearly stated in the prayer. As we have forgiven those who trespass against us, or those who sin against us, as we have forgiven. So it's already something that is correlated to our action. And Jesus is purposely telling us that unless we forgive, we cannot be forgiven. As long as there is hatred in my heart, I cannot accept God's forgiveness. It's not that God does not forgive us, but I am not capable of accepting that forgiveness because my heart is filled with hatred. It's not because the hand of God is shortened, not because He is not capable of forgiving, but my sin is somehow blocking. My unforgiving mind is blocking the flow of the grace of forgiveness into my heart. So Jesus is telling, forgive. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. Peter was so much amazed. And he came and asked, "How many times should I forgive? 7 times? No, Jesus said, 7 times, 70 times. Whenever your brother asks for forgiveness, forgive him. And Jesus also implies thereby that whatever be the sins, God will forgive. Without counting the time. It's the 5th time, it's the 7th time, it's the 100th time. But again, He will forgive, provided we are also ready to forgive. And this Jesus tells us through a beautiful story. The story of the unforgiving servant. We know the story. The king taking the account of his servants. And there comes a person who owes him 10,000 talents, an incredibly great amount. And because the servant was unable to pay, and because he prayed and lamented and asked for forgiveness, the king, out of compassion and sympathy, forgave him the debts. Then this servant coming out meets a co-servant who owes him 100 denarii. A very small amount. But this amount he is not ready to forego. He is not ready to give him a chance to pay back. The servant puts the co-servant in prison and somehow tries to get the money out of him. So when the story is reported to the master, the king, He calls the servant and tells him this. Then the Lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay all his entire debt. And by torturing, one doesn't get the money. So it means he is eternally being tortured. "So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." So Jesus is making a condition. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. And this he tells in very plain words in Mark 11:25. "Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." So this is what Jesus tells us. Forgive and we shall be forgiven. And we are asked to pray, "Father, forgive us our trespasses as we have forgiven those who trespass against us." So this can be a condition, this can be also a measure. And it is the measure of forgiveness that we receive. And we can receive forgiveness only if we are willing to forgive. Otherwise, the forgiveness of God cannot enter our hearts and our minds. And if we are ready to forgive in the society, there would have been peace. And the only way to peace and lasting peace and reconciliation is forgiveness. Retaliation, vengeance will never bring peace. And Jesus is showing the true way, the only way to peace, forgiveness. In order to be able to forgive, we have to understand that we too are sinners and we too stand in need of forgiveness. And also we have to be aware that forgiving is not an act of cowardice. Only the strong and courageous can forgive. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing." Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Enable us to forgive. Give us the strength and the courage to ask for forgiveness from our neighbors, to forgive them and to live a life of forgiveness and reconciliation, so that we can be your true sons and daughters through Christ our Lord.